Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
It's really a privilege to be here with all of you, and my hat's off to the veterans of the United States Armed Forces. I am actually one who's graduated as a veteran, you can say, of both the full-time and the combat infantry of the IDF military forces that I served for roughly about 13 years. After I made Aliyah to Israel, where I immigrated in 1981. And so I understand and know many, many people in the military. All our children, including my wife, Batya, have all served in the Israeli military. My son is a major in the paratroopers and has been fighting about 6 months out of the last 14 months. So always appreciate prayer. And we live in Israel, and we love it there, other than the traffic, which, as we drove towards Atlanta today, reminded me of the traffic in Israel. They say, and I don't know, I mean, this I saw as a statistic, that there are more cars per capita on the roads and the road surface of Israel than anywhere else in the world, which I found quite amazing. I thought, even more than India? That's amazing. And but it takes us maybe about a half hour to get to our house. But Mivaseret Zion comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, where it talks about glad tidings from Zion. That's what it means. So the neighborhood we live in means good news, or proclaiming good news from Zion. And I think it's a special neighborhood, and that Rabbi Kevin, if you're watching at such an early hour of the morning in Israel, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be back at Beth Hillel, and I hope you had a good night's sleep somewhere in the nation of Israel. This is called replacement rabology. We're just changing places here. I love Rabbi Kevin a lot. And he's been a very special brother. Some of you may have come on tours with him in the past, where you came and actually served for a few hours or a day at our facilities. The old facilities were in aluminum-sided warehouses without heat, without AC. And now we're in a glorious building the Lord has provided for us called the Millennium Center. We'll see a few pictures of it in a little while. But I just want to thank you for all being here, and Shabbat Shalom to all of you. Now, I don't know if we have a picture. We do. Okay, so I'm going to introduce you to my family. This is my family up there. You'll notice there's quite a range of hair colors. But my son is on the far left, and his wife, who's Dutch, is next to him with the long blonde hair. And the three kids that they have were all born in Jerusalem. And actually, everybody was born in Jerusalem or in Israel there, except for the little baby that the lady, my youngest daughter, in a pinkish dress is holding, her daughter, Sophia. Sophia and her identical twin sister were born on February 17th this year in Omaha, Nebraska. They were there because of a complication with the identical twin sister, who passed on 14 hours later. So it was a sad moment and a very difficult one. as we held them both and prayed. And I mean, there must have been 10 doctors and nurses surrounding little Noga, the twin sister, but she just couldn't make it. And I really felt the revelation that God gave me. And at the funeral at the Jewish cemetery out in Omaha, I didn't even know there were many Jews out in Omaha, but I got to know them quite well quickly. But I felt like it was the little one sacrificed her love herself as they hugged each other for that 9 months. She laid down her life for her other sister, Sophia, to be born, who's doing fine and well. So, you know, every family goes through its own challenges. We've gone through ours. Seeing our son fight in his third war is also not the easiest thing, because there's a time and a place in our lives. You just have to submit your family and commit every one of your children and grandchildren into God's hands and never stop praying. Never lose hope and never stop praying, whether it's for their salvation or if they're serving in the military or in some dangerous place somewhere on the face of the earth. But we have 3 children and 7 grandchildren, one who passed on to glory. And Batya, my wife, who normally loves to sing with me, doesn't like to travel in a car too far. And she's back in the greater Charlotte area where our USA branch office base is. Mike Vance, the brother of J.D. Vance. No, I'm kidding. Mike is sitting there. If you'll raise your hand, he's on our team in Tiga K, or Fort Mill, South Carolina. That's where our USA office base is. Again, Bati and I live in Israel, in the hills of Jerusalem. And I'm glad Mike is here with us today, and you can talk to us in the back afterwards. I, just for as a reminder, in case you didn't meet me or see me the last time, I was not born in Israel. I was born in Motown. Detroit was my home city, and I came to the Lord through a supernatural visitation where actually God spoke to me in an audible voice. And after I came to the Lord, after some time had passed, I became a worship leader, and I also became a messianic leader in the United States. I was invited by a Bible teacher who was my spiritual father. Thank you so much. I was invited by a Bible teacher some of you are familiar with, named Derek Prince, who was my spiritual father and my pastor for many years. I moved to Israel with him in 1981. He was looking for somebody to assist them settle down, help finish building their house, of which I had some experience. And I lived with them, he and his wife, Ruth, for 6 years till Bati and I were married. And it was really a precious time and really an important time in my life. Also, while living with them, I entered the IDF. I served in the Israeli Defense Forces in an anti-terror patrol, part and parcel of the Golani Brigade. And I had some of my best spiritual experiences and awakenings to me, and lessons I learned about spiritual warfare happened as I served in the Israeli military. I was a fully blown believer, and it was not an easy time. I fought in during the time of both intifadas that took place in the 80s and 90s in Israel. So everything I'm about to share with you and the facts I'm going to give you, I actually share on a weekly basis a news update, as was mentioned in the introduction. I share it at a YouTube channel called Vision for Israel. Pretty easy. And so there's about 600 and some odd videos up there now. You can subscribe. It's free. You can send me comments. You may just believe it or not, but I might just answer. And we get a lot of people writing bad things too, but that's to be expected, and that shows I must be doing something right. But first of all, for those of you who are watching online or here at present, just to let you know straight out, I'm a fully born Jew, DNA intact as a Levite, and I'm also a born-again believer in Yeshua the Messiah, and I live in Israel, and I'm your brother in the Lord here. I want to also say I do not hate the Arabs. I have many, many Arab Christian and Arab Muslim friends in Israel and the Middle East, by the way, and we've spoken at length about many of the things going on. In my army unit, 25% of my army unit were all made up of Bedouin Arab Muslims. We fought to keep each other safe and to protect the borders of Israel. If we look back to what happened on October 7, 2023, many Bedouin Arabs came to the rescue of Israeli Jews, especially at the Nova Music Festival. So I also want to let you know that Vision for Israel does more for Arabs in Israel than the hypocrites who march in the streets globally yelling from the river to the sea. We don't distinguish in our ministry between just being an Israeli Jew or a Jew who made Aliyah and our Arab citizens, many, not all, but many who voluntarily serve in the IDF. But when it comes to humanitarian aid and when it comes to salvation, we can never forget what God's word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And today we know that there are millions throughout the Middle East, former Muslims coming to know Yeshua through dreams, visions, and the more that come to know Yeshua, the more likelihood they'll be in love with God's people, the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. So we should never forget that. In the first verse, I'd like to talk about, in my message, Israel, yesterday, today, and forever, I'd like to look at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 2. It says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." You know, recently, talking to my little grandson, who's 5 years old, Bati and I and my grandson were driving to celebrate his older brother's birthday. We were in two separate cars because we couldn't fit all in one. And Micha is his name. He looked at us and he asked while I was driving, he said, "Do you know what it's like in heaven?" And I said, "No, we've never been there." I said, "Why do you ask?" He said, "Because I had a vision. I had a dream." "Okay, Micha, 5 years old, what was your dream all about?" He said, "I saw a great light." I said, "Well, what did you see?" He said, "Well, I saw a great light and then kind of down, I don't know, like a tunnel." I said, "Did you see anybody?" He said, "Yeah, I saw my baby cousin, Noga, who passed away." I said, "How did you know it was her?" He said, "I just knew it was her." I said, "Do you know what age she was?" He said, "Kind of ageless. I don't know, but she was more grown up." He said, "Have you ever been there?" I said, "No." I said, "I'm not in a hurry." And then he went on, "Micha, 5 years old, born in Israel, went through all the rocket attacks, one which fell about 1,000 feet from where they live, during the most intense part of the war." He said, "Can you tell me more about what would happen if a missile fell on the house?" And I said, "You don't want to go there." But I'm thinking, here's a 5-year-old Israeli child. This is what he's thinking about. Is that what Jewish or Gentile children in the United States ask about what would happen if a rocket fell on the house or on the store down the street? And I'm thinking, this is an entire generation today in Israel, Jewish and Arab, as Israeli citizens I'm talking about, asking about rockets, about warfare, about heaven. I was really nearly in tears to hear this, but I realized this is what living in Israel is all about today. We used to have a volunteer who went on to university in between her high school and university years. I asked her, I said, you live down in Ashkelon, which is one of the southern cities closest to the Gaza Strip. I said, what has life been for you? She says, ever since I've been a child, we've been running to bomb shelters. And I thought, this is just so different. As of a few days ago, but I officially wrote it as of October 31st, 2025. Since the year 2000, it is estimated that over 60,000 rockets, mortars, missiles, drone attacks, and projectiles were launched against Israel. Can you imagine that? What single nation on the face of this earth has had to go through that? Over 19,000 of these were launched from the Gaza Strip since the Swords of Iron War broke out on October 7th, 2023. Now, today, the statistics that we know, 0 living hostages remain in Gaza, as most of you know, and prayed for. 6 bodies of hostages are still being held in Gaza. The most recent release was just a couple days ago, a Tanzanian agricultural student studying in Israel who was killed on October 7, 2023. 168 living hostages have been rescued. 66 hostage bodies have been rescued, actually more now. 1,938 Israelis killed since October 7th. 1,152 security personnel have been killed since October 7th, 2023, which includes IDF soldiers, the Israeli police, Shin Bet, and other security forces. And over 6,300 Israelis have been wounded. And now over 100,000 Israelis suffer from PTSD symptoms. This is what Israel has been going through. And I believe the Lord's hand is not short and has seen all of this going on in our midst. It's not easy to calculate and to put into a total understandable answer to all of this, but somehow, even living there through all of this, and I've seen rockets in the air, I've seen interceptions of the Iron Dome, and I've had a son serving, fighting in this war more intensely than ever before, not only there, but in Lebanon. God is up to something. In exchange for all these hostages, Israel has released so far 2,058 Palestinian prisoners and terrorists in exchange for the hostages. It is known statistically that 80% of terrorists released return to a life of terrorism. 1,200 Israelis were massacred on October 7, 2023, and 5,431 were wounded. Jews and Arabs, foreign students and workers, the equivalent number in the United States statistically would be somewhere between 35 to 40,000 Americans if they had been would have been killed in the same day. That's the major impact on Israel, proportionally speaking. Today in Israel, President Isaac Herzog, today, Friday, delivered the eulogy at the funeral of Captain Omer Nutra, a fallen soldier and a lone soldier from New York. His body was returned after more than 2 years in Hamas captivity. Can you fathom what do they need dead Israeli soldiers for? But we need them back because we honor the dead and families need closure, let alone the nation itself. Our president, Isaac Herzog, who I know reasonably well, said these words, "Though most of us never met you personally, we all feel you were part of our lives because you chose us when you came to Israel alone, when you enlisted and when you fought. You became a symbol of courage and light to an entire nation." Now, Omer, unquote, Omer fought against a wave of psychopathic murderers on October 7th at Kibbutz Nir Oz near Nir'im. President Herzog went on, and I quote, to say, "You fought with unimaginable bravery, facing a ruthless, merciless enemy. You knew the danger, yet you did everything to strike evil, to protect life, to ensure that the light would not be extinguished." My friends, to all of you at Beth Hillel, I'm not here to depress you, but I'm here to impress upon you to continue your support in prayer, in finance, in the quiet place, and in proclamations standing with Israel and the Jewish people. We are entering, I believe, October 7th, 2023, created a quantum shift in prophetic history. Life is never going to be the same. Something shifted in this war. This is not the first war, the Swords of Iron War, or the War of Redemption, is not something that we just began fighting. We've been fighting for Israel's existence even before the state of Israel, the modern state of Israel, was pronounced on May 14th in 1948. We've been fighting for our existence ever since. And Derek Prince used to say this, so as it goes for Israel, it goes for the church. In other words, there is a relevance between what is happening to those of us who believe together with the nation of Israel. We're bound together. And the church, or the fellowship, or the congregation, or the nation, or the individual that says that Israel has no place in our thinking is walking straight into deception. And that's why it's imperative and why I plead constantly with the United States of America, where I was born, and I'm proud to have been born here. Don't ever lose sight of God's purposes for Israel and the Jewish people. It will affect all of us. If Israel goes down, America goes down. If Israel goes down, people of faith will lose hope and go down with it. It is our anchor, and it is the crux or the center of everything we understand concerning end time prophecy. Now, there was a ceasefire pronounced, and as of October 23rd, all living hostages are home. Hamas has been very slow to return the bodies of the hostages, which was in violation of the agreement. Terrorists, jihadists, have left prison as millionaires, paid for by the Palestinian Authority. Pro-Hamas propagandists romanticize terrorists, prisoners as quote-unquote innocent hostages, who lied about their injuries and treatment they received in Israeli prisons. And I, for one, am a personal witness when I served in the IDF, at one point guarding Israeli Islamic terrorists. Hamas is consolidating power again in Gaza, executing hundreds of civilians and their rival clans. The last day of Sukkot in 2025, early Monday morning, October 13th, U.S. President Donald Trump in Israel addressed the Israeli parliament about the ceasefire, which you're all familiar with, that was agreed upon by Hamas, supposedly. A 20-point plan was agreed upon. Following only the first step, 2,058 Arab prisoners were released, some to Egypt and other countries where they will be hailed as heroes and celebrities. And as I said already, many of them millionaires, while the people of Gaza itself are suffering. But amazing, amazing to me, the Palestinian Authority Institute out of Ramallah, which takes a poll, has their own polls, said that if elections were held today for a new Palestinian leadership, 77% would vote for Hamas in the Arab towns and cities of Judea and Samaria and the Gaza Strip. After all the destruction they've brought upon the Arab populations that are not Israeli Arab citizens, 77% would still vote for Hamas. This does not bode well for the future. So, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And this I'm seeing, witnessing across the streets of Europe, London, Paris, New York, LA, my own home city in the southern part of Detroit, Dearborn, where they just busted up an ISIS terror plan that was about to be executed. America, it's time to wake up. I won't mention the restaurant, but before we came here, Mike and I just wanted to get a snack. And it happened to be outside a Middle Eastern restaurant, because I love Middle Eastern food. That for me is normal food. What you eat in fast food restaurants to me is abnormal food. Although having said that, and thanks to Atlanta, my son's favorite place to take his kids when visiting in America is Chick-fil-A. How many of you would like to see the Siegel family start Chick-fil-A in Israel? I guess that's a brief advertisement. I don't go there, but they do. But I just wonder, is this tremendous applause and welcome that we gave to President Donald J. Trump and the administration and all the hardworking people who sought and fought to release the living hostages and the dead? And we're very grateful, by the way, for it, because it seems that Hamas wasn't about to respond to the Israeli Jewish government. It took somebody to threaten them because it's the only language they know. But I ask you this, will this be a permanent ceasefire? I doubt it. Is it a pipe dream? In my opinion, yes. Jeremiah, the prophet, in chapter 6, verse 14, tells us, "They have healed also the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 11 says, "They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." So is this ceasefire Nothing more than a superficial healing, putting a band-aid on a crisis. Is this nothing more than false assurance? The Hamas vengeance and reign of terror and fear has been murdering its own civilian population and anyone getting in its way of governing. Now the warning to our enemies. The present-day status on all fronts, Hezbollah in Lebanon, has been smuggling weapons again via Syria. They are rebuilding in southern Lebanon. Egypt is trying to mediate to avoid escalation and another war. They will not succeed. Hamas, Hezbollah are both regaining strength. Israel has had to increase airstrikes in recent weeks on Hezbollah. Unfortunately, the SLA, Lebanese army is too weak to disarm them. Our Israeli defense minister, Israel Katz, warned, quote, Hezbollah is playing with fire and the president of Lebanon is dragging his feet. The U.S. ambassador to Turkey, Thomas Barrack, calls Lebanon a failed state. Speaking at a conference just the other week in Bahrain, a member of the Abrahamic Accords and friendly towards Israel, Barrack said that the terror group has 40,000 terrorists and 15,000 to 20,000 rockets and missiles still in their arsenal. This is speaking of Hezbollah. Barrack said that Lebanon is a failed state, has no central bank, its banking system has collapsed, there are electricity shortages, people depend on private generators, water and education are provided by private suppliers. And believe you me, the Christians of Lebanon have suffered for decades. Even the Lebanese Christians who wanted to make permanent peace with Israel are treated poorly. And that's why there's constantly some type of civil war that goes on within Lebanon. I'm sharing this all with you to bring you a check on reality. Because no matter the good intentions of good people, whether they're politicians, negotiators, like Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner, and others, with all the good that people try to bring forth, there is a total naivety on Islamic jihadism, and it's come to America. And I assure you, if we don't pray like our lives don't depend upon it, if we don't take a stand, if we don't show up at pro-Israel demonstrations, whether in Atlanta or elsewhere, we've lost the battle. We must be proactive. And don't forget that last May, two wonderful believers in Yeshua the Messiah were gunned down outside, I think it was the Holocaust Museum or a center in Washington, D.C. And we know the family who was a friend, a good friend of my son. They went to the same fellowship. Hamas, as I mentioned, has not diminished but is growing amongst the Palestinian Arab population. Six other consecutive polls have all shown the very same, that they would vote in Hamas. Shocking. It is estimated today that Hamas still has 16,000 to 18,000 fighters left. Now let's turn to Iran. Among the mullahs of Iran and the Ayatollah Khamenei, their entire business is to destroy Israel and the United States. Iran is rebuilding its ballistic missile arsenal and continues its drive for nuclear weapons. Missiles they are developing to hit the United States. Can you imagine? Their economy is in shambles. The people have been crushed. They have killed at least 1,000 of their own citizens as collaborators with Israel since the 12-day war in June. Their rivers and water sources are drying up, and yet even in the midst of judgment, thank God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has had mercy on the people of Iran. By the way, the Iranians do not consider themselves Arabs. but descendants of the Persians. And by the way, having said this, let us not forget in our prayers for the over 120,000 Nigerian Christians who've been massacred by Islamic jihadists since 2009, 7,000 so far this year alone. The lessons of God's physics are still valid and true for God's people, the church, for nations, for messianic believers, everywhere. Genesis 12, verse 3, I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee. Years ago, when my son was born, who's the major in the IDF, when he was a little child, the Holy Spirit convicted me very clearly, the Ruach of God. And you know, we used to preach about praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We used to, you know, do it in conferences, lead others, even at the Messiah Conference and other conferences of other organizations. And the Lord spoke to me one night and he said, so when are you going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem? So I said, well, I do in conferences. And it was like the Lord said, when are you going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Well, I live there. Of course I pray for the traffic and the peace of Jerusalem. I pray for the drivers who are crazy. So when are you going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem? I felt really convicted, like, well, don't I? And the Lord showed me, he said, take your son. In those days, he was just learning to talk, you know, and he was getting a little better between the ages of 3 and 4. And every night that I was home, if we weren't ministering abroad or I wasn't ministering at the congregation or preparing a message, leading a congregation for 8 years in Jerusalem at the time, I would get down with my son by his bedside, and we would pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But first, I would lead him in a prayer of salvation. I think I led him in the prayer of salvation about 1,000 times. So I secured his future. And today, as a major in the IDF paratroopers, he is a strong believer in Yeshua the Messiah. And recently, we immersed Mikvid, his son, in the River Jordan, his 8-year-old son. I said, Boaz, do you know what you're doing? He said, yeah. I said, so what are you doing? He says, I believe in Yeshua. I want to be immersed in the River Jordan. I said, okay, who am I to deny you? We drove all the way to Jerusalem to the River Jordan, the cleaner part of the River Jordan, and dunked him down, and that was it. And he's still the 8-year-old who idolizes Lionel Messi in soccer, European football, and he plays on his school team. But it's a privilege. Okay, I better move on. I just got through the introduction. Just kidding. All right. What do Batya and I do in the present, in the past, in the future? Who are we? We're just two Jewish believers in the Messiah, one Israeli born and one Detroit born who made Aliyah. Both of us citizens. Both of us just stewards in the bigger plan of God. It was Theodore Herzl's famous quote, if you will it, it is no dream. Well, I'd like to show you a video before I talk about the future and what to expect and encourage you a little bit more. I'd like to show you a video about what we do and who we are.
Over the past year, Vision for Israel has continued to bring hope and relief to countless families across Israel. Thanks to your support, we've been able to provide vital aid and safety to those affected by the ongoing conflict. From the aftermath of the tragic events on October 7th, we installed safety shelters across Israel, with hundreds of new shelters in the north and south. Despite the chaos, we brought joy to Holocaust survivors, hosting a heartwarming event filled with music and connection. VFI equipped emergency response teams with essential gear to keep communities safe, helping to protect against the continued threats. We provided hundreds of families with food, blankets, and gift cards, ensuring they could celebrate holidays with dignity. Your prayers and generous contributions are making a tangible difference. Together, we are bringing hope, security, and compassion to Israel. Support this vital mission today. Thank you for making an impact.
Well, that's just a brief of a lot more of what we do. And that was for the end of 2024. And on your way out tonight, please, if you want really updated news and what's happening, we are on the ground. I am on the ground there. I have a journalist background, also in television production. But we also have a packet about who we are, what we do. And that was just a short snippet. But to not share this because it's our glory, it's God's glory. I just want to show you how big God can be through an organization that is not supported by some mega organization or some mega body of believers. It's just people who believe in the dream that we had, that God spoke to us back in 1993, which then launched us in 1994 to the reality. Just one project alone, we've donated 16 ambulances, and the first one of the Jewish New Year after Rosh Hashanah was donated by us. It was a mass casualty ambulance never before developed for Israel in times of distress and crisis. That was just recently. 16 ambulances in total. One bloodmobile, 3 motorcycles, 2 fire and rescue ATVs for Judea and Samaria, and 1 police security vehicle for the city of Sderot because they lost many vehicles on October 7, 2023. We have so far installed 466 bomb safety shelters across the northern and southern borders of Israel at a cost of $14,000 apiece. I'm telling you, it's a miracle. I never, ever thought that we would even reach 100. And we're moving fast and quickly towards 500. And at that point, I think we just should go for 700. God willing. We've provided over 300,000 school children in Israel with school packs for children in need, whether they're poor and needy, children at risk, Jewish believing children, Arab children, whatever, wherever, as long as it's a confirmed need. We have what I think is the largest independent humanitarian aid organization complex in the heart of Israel. We're located just outside of Modi'in. And my side of things is disaster relief and response. Batya's department is face-to-face assistance and counseling and developing a program for the many thousands of PTSD victims, besides the financial vouchers we provide to terror victim families and the events like you saw of the Holocaust survivors. That's at our complex called the Millennium Center. We've always had this byline: when crisis comes, it's too late to prepare. And so, in my last number of minutes, I want to talk about the now and the future. In Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 15 to 16, it says, "The Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them back into their land, which I gave to their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishermen, says the Lord, and they shall fish them. And afterward, I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill and out of the holes of the rocks." I am one of those who God fished. And I responded. I was a single guy, handsome, without gray hair, eager and willing to start my life all over again as a former TV producer in Detroit and New York, and ready to leave it all behind to make Israel my home, because I knew from the time of my bar mitzvah that I was called to be in Israel, even before I was a believer. 1 year after I came to faith at the age of 17, I was praying where I had moved to in Miami Beach, where later my mother became a police officer in Broward County. And I was reading my Bible under the midnight sky with the full moon. Woo-hoo. And I read a scripture in Zechariah 8, which said that he will save his people in the east and gather them from the west and bring them back to Jerusalem. And when I read that scripture for the very first time in my life, the neon lights went off and I knew my calling and my home was Jerusalem and Israel. And that would stay with me until one day on a singles retreat. How many of you remember those days? I was on a ski trip in Colorado with a bunch of young singles looking to whom they would marry. And I get a call from Derek and Ruth Prince, and they said, "Have you prayed about coming to Israel with us?" And I said, because you had to be real spiritual around them, "I'll get back to you. I'll pray about it." Next day, I called back. I didn't need to pray. I already knew it was God. "I'm coming. When?" So that was it. Summer of 1981, I moved to Israel. But today, the hunters are out. And this is a call for all Jewish people everywhere that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is showing specifically for a time to return or prepare or get alongside of those who do. We are about to see a wave of aliyah and immigration to Israel like we've never seen before. I believe another shift is taking place. This past week, we don't have time to look at the hundreds of and thousands of anti-Semitic attacks and murders going on in the world right now against Jewish people, but consider what just happened in the New York City mayoral elections, as you're more acquainted than I am. Today, in the news in Israel, 46% of Israelis say they will now avoid traveling to New York City. Now that incoming Mayor Mamdani will become the new mayor soon, they will be watching, not just to try and arrest Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visiting the United States, but all the soldiers, past, present, and future, who serve in the IDF. We'll never be able to trust New York again. New York City Fire Commissioner Robert Tucker, who is Jewish, submitted his resignation on Wednesday morning, one day after Mamdani's election. The Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations said on Wednesday that the election of Mamdani, quote, marks a grim milestone, unquote. The city with the largest Jewish population will now be led by a man whose record and rhetoric reflect hostility towards Israel and the Jewish people. They added, quote, "Zohran Mamdani's elevation to Gracie Mansion reminds us that anti-Semitism remains a clear and present danger, even in places where American Jews have long felt most secure. There can be no compromise with an ideology that demonizes or ostracizes Jews and Israelis. And not so long ago, before the terror attack took place, I was in Manchester, England, raising money for ambulances amongst the Jewish unbelieving population. I was there with the former gold medal winner of the Israeli Olympics in it's kind of a water event. Never held a gold medal in my life. It really weighs quite a bit. But we were there together with parents of a gal who was one of the watchtower ladies in the IDF who was murdered on October 7th. But Jews in Manchester today are frightened for the future. That's the present shift that's going on right now. I'm sorry to say anti-Semitism is going to increase and the attacks are going to increase. But the future is positive. Isaiah 62, verses 6 to 7, a song that the Lord gave to my wife, on your walls, O Jerusalem. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in all the earth. The Berean Bible says, and makes her the praise of the earth. My friends, we have to see with the eye of the Ruach HaKodesh what God is up to. We have to flow in the rivers of the Holy Spirit. We need to grab hold of the hem of his garment. And we need to believe that what God has foreordained for Israel right now, I believe with all my heart, and I shared this with a good friend of mine, Sid Roth, the other day. I said, Sid, you and I have a heart for the Jewish people. God is doing heart transplant surgery upon the Jewish people and the nation of Israel right now. It's hard. It's painful. But I believe it's leading to the national salvation of an entire nation. And those who choose to walk side by side with us will inherit the benefits and the riches of all that God has meant for Israel and his people. On the positive side of the coin, look, another nation now has joined the Abrahamic Accords, Kazakhstan. Maybe this whole thing, which gives this false peace impression, is also opening a door finally to the Muslim nations of the Middle East. Before the Abrahamic Accords, I can guarantee you, you could hardly talk about the gospel in the Middle East without severe persecution. And it's not that they've changed a whole lot, but the influx and the interchange with this present administration, but also with Israel, is changing the scenery. And so on one hand, yes, the Middle East should or could become, quote, the financial Switzerland of the world for a season, for a time, so that the gospel can enter in, even the Gaza Strip. But other things are also happening simultaneously because the wheat and the tares are coming up at the same time. So tonight, I really am calling upon all of you to volunteer freely, as the psalm says, in God's army and standing for such a time as this. I'd like you all to stand for a moment. And I want us all to close our eyes. And if you want to stand firmly committed, first of all, if you never had a relationship with Yeshua, I definitely invite you to his altar, and that you would open your heart for that great salvation, whether you're a child or whether you're elderly, it's open to all. But I want to take it a step further tonight. If you, I just want the angels and the Lord to witness, are prepared to stand with Israel and God's covenant, with the Jewish people, and with his people here tonight, I just want you to raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm giving you everything in my life to see your word come to pass and to see Jerusalem become the praise of all the earth. I will not betray her. I will not betray your covenants. I will not betray your purposes. I will stand with Israel, even in the midst of their unbelief, until the day of national salvation, I commit myself to you in Yeshua's name. And all God's people say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Bethel family, please visit our website at www.bethelel.org. That's BETHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and Shalom.